Shall we turn together to the first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. Chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And we trust the Lord will bless to us this reading from his word. Someone has said the birth of Christ divides time, but the cross of Christ divides eternity. If we did not have the message of the cross, dear friend, we have no gospel. This is the central theme of the gospel. Without the message of the cross, we have no hope. Without the message of the cross, we have no future. Without the message of the cross, there is no salvation. I would like to bring you this evening to that scene outside Jerusalem's walls where my blessed Lord was nailed to that cross and died for guilty men and women just like you and me. I want to tell you, dear friends, that men look very lightly upon sin today. But when I look at the cross, I see something of the heinousness of sin. There we see the heart of man fully revealed. The cross not only reveals the heart of man, but it reveals the heart of God. And if only I could tell the story tonight, as I'd like to tell of one who came from yonder throne of glory down to this world, and there upon dark Golgotha's hill laid down his life and shed his precious blood, died yonder upon that center tree, suffering untold agony, that guilty worms of the dust, like you and I, might be in heaven. I want to tell you, friend, there's no message to be compared with that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him to the shame and to the suffering and to the death of the cross. And yet men play fast and loose with sin today. Men look very lightly upon sin today. They treat it as a trifle, but God says it's a tragedy. Men will tell us that sin is but a mistake. Men will tell us that sin is but infirmity. But God says it's iniquity. Men might say it is but a trifle. God says it's a tragedy. Men say it is fun, but God says it is folly. When we think of children disobeying their parents, how obnoxious, how unpleasant to see little boys and girls turning in rebellion against their parents. But oh, what shall we say of the criminal? To think of a despicable character breaking into a home, tying up a defenseless old lady, and they're abusing her and murdering her. What for? A few dollars. Society will not tolerate that today, and we thank God for that. But I want to tell you the greatest crime that ever was committed outside Jerusalem's walls, when men put my blessed Lord upon that center tree. We have been hearing something this afternoon or this evening of the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ, of that Holy One, of that Blessed One. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Think of the blessing that he brought into the lives and into the homes of so many people when he healed their sick, when he cleansed the lepers, when he gave sight to the blind, when he relieved the oppressed, when he cast out demons, and when he raised the dead. And when they were hungry, he fed them. And he dispensed blessing on every hand. Those who accompanied with him, they said he did no sin. The Apostle John, who was most intimate with the Savior, he leaned on Jesus' breast and he says, "In him is no sin." The one who condemned him to be crucified, he said, "I find no fault in this man." The malefactor who hung by his side, he acknowledged, "This man hath done nothing amiss." And yet men put him upon a cross. I say the greatest crime that was ever committed. And oh, think of the death and the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the torture that they subjected my blessed Lord to. They heaped such abuse and such torture upon his blessed person as their wicked minds could invent. They crowned him with cruel thorns. They scourged him with a Roman lash. They plucked the hair from his cheeks. They buffeted him with their fists. And they condemned him, led him outside the city wall, and nailed him by the hands and by the feet to a wooden stake, and lifted him up to die. I want to tell you, it wasn't the pagan world and the heathen world and the cannibals that did it. It was those who were looked upon as the most civilized in all the world. And of those who were present, the ones who were behind the crucifixion of Christ were none less than the religious leaders. I tell you, dear friends, here we see something of the depravity of the human heart. Now we know that he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, but that does not in any way relieve man of his guilt, because my Bible says, "Ye crucified and slew." Peter charges those men and those people who were guilty. He charges them with the crucifixion and with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to come close to that scene this evening. And I would like you to see those who stood by the cross of Jesus. For there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, Mary Magdalene, and John the Apostle. And their hearts were absolutely breaking. They knew the one who was on the cross was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. They had accompanied with him. Their hearts had been touched. They had received blessing from his hand. And they appreciated the one upon that center cross. And listened to his prayer. As the soldiers nail him to the tree, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." I tell you, my friend, if the heart of man is revealed at Calvary, the heart of God is revealed at Calvary. Have you ever known such love? That my blessed Lord would pray the Father that he would forgive those guilty men, those cruel men, those great sinners who were round the cross. I want you to realize, my friend, that you and I had a part in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. because there upon the cross he bare my sins, the Apostle Peter says, on his own body on the tree. On the 18th of December 1949, for the first time I came to realize that Jesus died for me. That there he was bearing my sins on his own body on the tree, wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. I tell you, it broke my heart. I bowed in repentance. I acknowledged him as Lord and received him as my Savior. How could I do anything else? Oh, I wonder sometimes that men's hearts are so hard that they can come into a gospel meeting and hear of the love of God and of the story of the cross and go out unmoved, apparently untouched. I will trust that that will not be the case this evening. For I want to tell you, dear friend, that so far as the cross is concerned, the cross of Christ is all my boast, his blood my only plea. My passport to the realms of bliss is Jesus died for me. The Apostle Paul could say, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I tell you, the night that the truth came home to my heart, that the Lord Jesus Christ had taken my place and borne my sins and paid my debt, I turned my back upon the world. I turned my back upon all that was dear to me in days that were past. I turned my back upon my sin. In true repentance, I turned to God. And I thank God I receive forgiveness, the cleansing of my sins, and everlasting life because I accepted Christ. There, my friend, God has provided salvation at infinite cost, that you and I might be forgiven and might be in heaven. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Friend, isn't it the Pilgrim's Progress that depicts the man coming up to the cross with the burden upon his back? And when he reaches the foot of the cross, what happens? The burden rolls away. There we have set before us very clearly a picture of the sinner, burdened with his sin and with his guilt. It describes my condition and my situation exactly. For until that moment, when I understood the truth that Jesus died for me, I was burdened with my sin. The guilt of my sin troubled me. I couldn't rest. I couldn't sleep. I found it difficult even to go to school. But that night, when I got to the foot of the cross and came to an appreciation of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on my behalf, the burden rolled away. Dear friend, let me ask you, does the guilt of your sin trouble you? Do you feel burdened and weighed down with your sin as you think of your past and realize that you can never stand in the presence of God unless those sins are put away? Let me point you this evening to the man Christ Jesus. Let me draw your attention to the one who died on that middle cross, and take it in as I did, that you are a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for you. Let me tell you, friend, there was a full provision made that you may be forgiven if only you are prepared to avail yourself of that sacrifice. Oh, thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. To the repentant sinner, the forgiveness of every transgression can be yours if only you trust my Savior. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Wasn't it the old sea captain who called the little cabin boy to his side and asked him to read Isaiah chapter 53? And as he read down those verses, he came to verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities." The little boy said, "My mother taught me to put my name in there." And then he read it with the sea captain's name in. That dear man, just before he passed into eternity, he rested on the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for his transgressions, bruised for his iniquities. My friend, why not put in your name this evening? Why not put in your plea? You have nothing that you can claim, my friend. No merits that you can claim. Only that Christ died, that His precious blood was shed. And all you have to do is accept it. All you have to do, my friend, is receive it. To as many as received Him, that's John 1 and 12. And we point you to the man, Christ Jesus. We have been hearing this evening of the blood upon the side posts and the upper door post, and the promise of God, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Let me tell you, friend, the blood of Christ is sufficient to cleanse every sin. And if you will but take shelter in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, take refuge in Christ and in Christ alone, His blood will cleanse. And God's promise is good. His promise is sure. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Like John the Baptist so long ago, we point you to the Lamb of God. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So often I can recall in my unsaved days, I wrestled with these verses, and I couldn't understand this believing. And I heard some of the preachers say to look unto me and be ye saved. And I couldn't understand it. But the night I got saved, dear friend, I wasn't occupied with my own feelings. I wasn't occupied with my believing. I was occupied alone with what the Lord Jesus Christ had done at Calvary. "Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Vile I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die." My friend, I have nothing of my own righteousness, nothing of my own goodness, no merits of my own do I plead in the presence of God. I stand alone on redemption ground, and blessed be His name. The blood of Jesus Christ alone gives us a standing and a fitness for the presence of God. My friend, if you are prepared to accept of God's provision, acknowledging yourself as a sinner, a guilty sinner, unworthy and unfit for the presence of God, and realizing that you have absolutely nothing to plead, but this evening, just put in your plea and rest and trust upon what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at the place called Calvary, I want to tell you, God will forgive you. He'll cleanse your guilty past, and He'll fit you for the courts of heaven. Hear again those lovely words, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." My friend, this is God's only answer to man's need. The cross is God's only answer to your problem, dear friend. We're not preaching religion. Salvation can never be obtained by working. But salvation is offered on the ground of faith and faith alone. If only you are prepared to take your place before God as a sinner and put your trust in God's beloved Son. A dear friend of mine back in Ireland, he was making his way into work one morning. And those words came before him, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." He stopped the car. He thought for a moment, if the blood of the Lamb in Egypt was sufficient for the Israelite, the blood of Christ is sufficient to meet my need. Friend, why not accept it? Why not rest upon it? The work is done. The price is paid. And all you have to do is accept it. Simply put in your plea. Simply, my friend, accept the truth that you are a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for you.